As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger and Jay. It's Danger and Jay.
Today's episode of Hear That Podcast Ground, presented by Visa, a network working for everyone. Paul Ener Jr., Jay Morrison of The Athletic, here working for you from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, where the Rams beat the Bengals 23-20 in Super Bowl 56, as Cincinnati becomes 0-3 in Super Bowls, and so close, so incredibly close from capturing the elusive first championship in franchise history. Instead, the Rams drive 15 plays to score a touchdown with under 2 minutes remaining, and a drive that the Bengals got to midfield ends on a fourth down, Joe Burrow being corralled down by, of course, none other than Aaron Donald in the picture, and that was that. The confetti fell. Cooper Kupp was MVP. The celebration's on in the Rams locker room, and a dejected Bengals team rode on a sad golf cart after sad golf cart through the halls of SoFi Stadium as they all were taking on carts all the way down to the buses, which were on the other side of the stadium. And that's that. The Bengals come up short. And there's a lot to dissect in why that is, a lot of things that can be pointed to. But, Jay, it just felt like the one play that has come over and over again for them in this playoff run was set up to happen, and just over and over again, it didn't happen this time.
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly what we expected. Low scoring, close, and Joe Burrow with the ball in his hands at the end of the game, a chance to win it. And I think that's the only thing that really happened today that you didn't expect was that Joe Burrow didn't find a way. It was, like I said, everything you thought it was going to be, tight and low scoring, and you know, the Aaron Donald being a disruptive force, Jamar Chase making plays, getting the best of Jalen Ramsey a number of times. There were so many things that you thought could or would happen that did, and the one lone thing. We've seen it so many times and gotten so accustomed to it that you put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands at the end of a game with a chance to win it, and he's going to do it, and no one bats 1,000.
Yeah, and you thought maybe he could. I mean, because it seems like he had, and you end up, the thing that blew my mind, and I ended up going back through every game book this season – there, the Super Bowl ended with the Bengals coming up empty on 5 consecutive possessions. 4 straight punts, and then the final turnover on downs. They had not come up empty on 5 straight possessions, not including kneel down situations, all season long. Not once. Not one time this season had they had 5 straight drives without points. And yet,
the final five drives of the season where they just needed one of them to equal points, they come up empty in five straight. Incredible. Because it's not anything we've seen from them all year, even against great defenses, even in games where they sucked offensively. Never had it really ever been like this, where they could never get anything going. And for it to be in that spot when you had the game in control after the beginning of that third quarter, they come out and boom, 20 seconds in, first play, deep ball to Higgins, 75-yard touchdown. Second play, interception of Stafford. The two things you felt like you needed to give you the Super Bowl happened so quickly. You've got all the momentum. And from that point on, it was just – it became that Rams defensive front really taking over.
Yeah, it was that interception, not cashing that into point – or into a touchdown, settling for the field goal. The deep ball to Ja'Marr Chase early in the game – they have first and 10 at the 11, three straight incompletions, settle for a field goal. I mean, red zone's been a bit of a problem. But then you mentioned the five straight possessions without a score. That last drive, 17 yards to Chase, then the 9-yard shot over the middle to Boyd. It's second and one at midfield. I mean, you were thinking at that point, worst case scenario is they get in field goal range for a 50-some-yard field goal for Evan McPherson, and it's going to be a Super Bowl in overtime. And three straight plays with 1 yard to go to get a first down, they get nothing. Kind of a thrown-away deep ball, the third and one Samaje Perine run, which I think is going to be the play call that it gets most discussed from this game. And then, of course, the Joe Burrow had no chance in hell fourth and one pass where – He just – his initial read wasn't there because the Aaron Donald got in so fast, and he just kind of awkwardly chucked it away. And just, I was just mentioning to you when we were watching this on replay, I was surprised. Watching it live, it didn't look like there was any shot. Watching it on the TV replay, it looked like it actually got pretty close to Samaje Perine. But on that play, I don't know how much of the replays – the TV showed, but I was taking video from the press box on that, and I had a wide-angle view. Ja'Marr Chase blew by Jalen Ramsey. They had the go ball for a touchdown there if Burrow has a little more time. And Chase took his helmet off and fired it to the ground with both hands. It was – you could see Tyler Boyd sitting there, and just that realization that it all ended right there on that one play. And it was just – like I said, no one bats 1,000, but you really felt, especially with the way that drive started, the 17-yard pass to Chase, it was that they were going to at least get the field goal.
Yeah, I mean, McPherson said he'd have been good from 60. He had enough probably from 65 if you really needed it. We saw him in pregame hit one from 63 that went off the upright, but it was about 5-10 feet off the upright from 63. I mean, you convert that first down, you're basically in at least McPherson swinging at it. And you're hoping for more. Zach Taylor said after the game, you know, they were thinking they just sneak a quick first down there and then start taking some shots at the end zone and see if they could actually win it. That was the plan. And that's the plan with the Perine run. The problem is, and let's talk about this, because that's four plays where it's third or fourth down and you need a yard in this game. One in the first quarter where a drive ends at midfield that you go for it and don't convert on fourth down. But you had a third down again. Samaje Perine ran on that one. Look, like, you need a yard. I get that entire last drive, Perine's out there. You feel more comfortable with him in pass protection, obviously, and you can still dump the ball to him out of the backfield. But if you're going to have – there was an incomplete pass on the play before that third down.
Yes.
You know, if you're thinking maybe we need to keep ourselves an option of running the ball here, you need to put Joe Mixon in the game. Like, Joe Mixon needs to be in when you need a yard. And in the early in the game and late in the game – he wasn't. And that's just a really hard pill to swallow, man. When you need a yard and you have a Pro Bowl running back and you have a guy who can get you a yard oftentimes single-handedly when it's not there, and you're handing to Samaje Perine. No offense to Samaje Perine, but you're not Joe Mixon. There's a reason you're not the starter. And that's just a really tough pill to swallow. And I know in-game you're making moves and things happen or whatever. And next thing you know, you're handing it and you don't even realize Perine's in there, I guess. But You have to. It's a mistake you can't make, and it kills you, and it ends up taking points, you know, off the board and cost you chances to go down there and win the game. You know, you at some point, you know, Joe Mixon needs to be in play for you to make a play, and that's a really tough one to swallow if it's me. It's the primary second guess of this game. Other than there's a bunch of them.
Well, the thing is, yes, it was a deep shot. They had plenty of time. They had 40 seconds to get Mixon on there, maybe get a bigger package in. You don't have to trick the team. We saw it after Joe Burrow hurt his right knee. Their next series, they came out with two tight ends and Deontay Smith as a tackle eligible. It was, we're going big. We're going to run. We don't care if you know we're going to run. We're protecting Joe Burrow. And Joe Mixon rips off a 12-yard gain. If you have Joe Mixon, you don't have to trick the defense. They had time there to get a second tight end in. Even if you want to go four wide, and you could still run Joe Mixon and feel confident getting 1 yard. And it was. That was the problem, was that the clock was stopped. It's not like you're moving in rhythm trying to switch out personnel. I don't know. It's something they've done all year. It's not like Zach just pulled this out and tried something. They have tried that play numerous times this year, but man, with the Super Bowl on the line, it's that old adage, dance with who brought you. Why try to trick him there and, like what he said, steal a first down? Just slam Mixon in there. And the other option would be a Joe Burrow sneak. Maybe they don't want to do that because his knee is so bad, but you've got a back in Joe Mixon who can get you 1 yard. He should be what you're paying him, no matter what that offensive line, and he should be able to get 1 yard.
Samaje Perine had two carries today, and they were both the short yardage, needed a yard, and he got zero. Joe Mixon averaged 4.8 yards per carry. Yeah. It was his most efficient game. I was stunned how well they were able to run the ball all day. They were able to gash him a few times. There wasn't a lot of them. There was some tackle for loss. There were some guys in the backfield, but not compared to what we'd seen. It was as good as they'd run the ball in a long time.
Yeah.
And then to not give Mixon a shot, It hurts you, and it's something that you're going to go back and look at.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
There's a lot of different aspects of the game we could talk about. The other part was, you know, it did feel like they made the Rams play their game. They won the turnover battle.
Yep.
They only got three out of it, you know, because one was kind of an arm punt into the end zone when Jesse Bates gets the pick early. And then Vernon Hargraves in a hoodie and slides and socks is running onto the field like an idiot. One of the dumbest penalties you will ever see in a Super Bowl. And it pushes them back a little bit more into the shadows of their own goalposts in the final 2 minutes of the first half. Would they have driven? I don't know. Their drive was kind of sputtered anyway. But it doesn't help. And, you know, what an idiotic thing there. But, you know, you got the turnovers. You won the turnover battle. You ran the ball a little bit. You were able to catch your explosive plays, the deep ball to Higgins, the ball to Chase in the first half. They set up points for you. You got explosive plays. You got turnovers. And you had your defense playing well in the second half. You were stopping the Rams. And then you get the drive, which we've seen every playoff game had ended in an interception by this defense, the turnover that they needed, the stop that they needed. They'd always gotten it, and now they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They had a chance on the fourth down on a cup jet sweep that he converts. That would be over. You had third down and goal from the 8, and a flag comes out on Logan Wilson. look, and this is the, you know, there's always going to be an official thing. You know, there's controversy over the official missing the face mask on the deep ball to Higgins where Ramsey got his face mask tugged, and that's kind of why he fell over. This, I mean, the, in general, I didn't think it was terribly officiated day or wasn't egregious. But that moment, I tweeted it, and Old Takes exposed me right before that. Apparently, they're just, you know, they're just letting everybody play. They're not going to throw flags in this game, and players are playing that way. Everybody was, because they were not throwing a damn flag all day. All of a sudden, on that play, which was nowhere near as probably egregious as the play before when Pratt could have gotten flagged right. for a hold, they call the flag on Wilson. Otherwise, it's fourth and goal from the eight, the exact situation of the Raiders playoff game at home, where it would have been fourth and goal from the eight needing a touchdown and you just need the one stop and maybe you end it there. Instead, you get into all the stuff that happened down and eventually Cup over top of Eli Apple setting up the last Burrow drive. But man, that we've seen this defense be in that spot all year and make the big play, make the stop. And just today, this one time, they couldn't do it. And that's something that they're going to have to kind of live with for a long time.
Yeah, because it even when it was first and goal at the eight, it felt it's okay. Who's it going to be? Who's going to get the pick? It just felt like it was going to happen. Or after Matthew Stafford threw that horrible pass on first down, he had Van Jefferson wide open, missed him. Maybe they just go four straight incompletions. I think the Logan Wilson penalty was the typical makeup call. Where if that play before with Pratt doesn't happen, I don't think they call the flag on that. And you said it. If you just watched that one play and you didn't know what happened before that, I don't think a lot of people would have a problem with him calling holding because he did. It wasn't egregious, but there was some impediment there. But the fact that they had been letting him play and then to just kind of flip it there at the end, I think that's what frustrates a lot of people. And that drive, really, the Bengals had done – the defense had done a great job. You mentioned they got the turnovers. They just totally shut down the Rams' run game. And they had pressure on Stafford. He was uncomfortable. He was in tough situations because they couldn't run the ball. And everything kind of flipped on that final drive because they just went pass. They had to – it was six minutes and 13 seconds when that drive started. So they could – they mixed some runs in. But they did a great job of going fast, of snapping the ball with 25, 22 seconds on the clock. And they weren't given the Bengals time to set, and they got in a rhythm. And then once they did that, then they started letting the clock run more. So the Bengals are down in their stance. They're holding it a lot longer. They just made them really uncomfortable in that final drive. And, oh, by the way, you have the offensive player of the year in Cooper Kupp, and he's done this to a lot of teams. He's broken a lot of hearts late in games. See Tampa Bay, see just about every other team that has been close with the Rams down the stretch. It was one of those things where kind of the Bengals game in Vegas, the dam's eventually going to break. And that was the Rams kind of mindset here where they got Cooper Kupp going on that final drive and the Bengals just didn't have an answer.
It's hard not to view this as the championship that slipped away at this point, right, Jay?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's, you have it right there in your hands. They're playing your game and you just can't, you can't finish. This was not a Rams team that played particularly well. Sean McVay was like out here trying to establish the run at 1.9 yards a carry all day, helping the Bengals get stops. You know, they had delays of games and false starts and things like that. And Stafford missed passes and they tried a Philly special that blew up in their face. And I mean, this was not a Rams team going out there and looking great and feeling like they earned it. It felt like the Bengals had control. They had everything, had gone the way they wanted to, and it slips away. And that's so hard to swallow. You know, in the big picture, you know, we will talk about this season and look back at this team fondly, and they should. And, you know, Joe Burrow came into the post game. You know, he hurts his knee in the game, and there's a question of if he's even going to be able to finish. I mean, it looks bad. He's limping around. He was limping pretty bad there after the game, coming off the podium and everything. You know, he wasn't he kind of said, he said he had been watching Kurt Warner's A Football Life last week. And Kurt Warner in that talked about how he felt they took that their one loss too hard and didn't take enough time to celebrate the season that they had. And he wanted to make sure they gave that what it deserved and celebrate with his guys and reminisce on this season tonight, even though it stings, and not try take it so hard in the moment, you know, because I do think in the end, eventually when the sting of this wears off, it'll still hurt. It will still feel like, gosh, they should have won that. But you'll still look back on what this season was and think more of how special the run was, I think, than even the Super Bowl loss. It kind of felt that way even before the game. And I think you don't ever know if you'll be back. Nobody's ever making those thoughts. It's so hard to get here and everything to go right and whatever. It's not because of that. It's because this team was special. This run was special. And a game that doesn't end the way you want to doesn't take that away.
No. I think where the sting comes from is the thing that we thought was going to be their Achilles heel all year finally was. You know, the offensive line, 6 sacks in the second half. You know, they overcame it, 9 sacks at Tennessee. This was different. It was Joe Burrow limping. He never got medical treatment, but that you could tell the first drive after his injury, the way they approached that, you could tell they were concerned that they needed to make sure he didn't take any more hits right away. And they weren't supposed to be here. And I think there's some satisfaction that should come in that. It's not a moral victory, but it is. You get to the Super Bowl, it's a special season. And this was not a mortgage the future, go all in to try to win a title. They've got something building here, and nothing, you're right, nothing's guaranteed about getting back, but you feel with the quarterback in place, with the skill guys in place, with the coaches improving, that they go into this offseason and they fix that offensive line, and no guarantee they get back here, they're going to be one of the favorites to be back here.
And they'll still be one of the most fun teams to watch for a while. And this is one of the most, I think the most beloved, fun season probably in Bengals history, you know, and they deserve all the credit for that. And they deserve to have their heads up high after this. It doesn't take away how many times when you're Zach Taylor and he talked about it, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of me thinking of all the things I could have done better and the calls that could have been better and analyze that. And that's going to be a part of something that you live with. It's something that you have to live with. I mean, Taylor talked during the week about remembering passing Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the hallway after the loss in the Super Bowl with the Rams before he took the Bengals job, and how he just never forgot that and how it sticks with you. And those moments are going to exist today. You know, everyone's down. They have all the podiums in one big warehouse area, and you have the Bengals right next to the Rams. You can hear the Rams hooting and hollering, and all the media are down there and all the cameras and everything's down there. And the Bengals are just quietly sitting there at their own little podium while all the hooting and hollering is going on. And you're just like, man, you can see how tough that is. You just know how tough that is and how tough that's going to be. And so, but that's what it is. That's what the Super Bowl is. It's the finality of it. It's what the postseason is. It's the finality of it. And that's where the Bengals are at. We're going to wrap it up. It's a late night here at SoFi Stadium. And it's been a fun season. Hope everybody has enjoyed the walkouts. We've enjoyed bringing them to you. We will be back and we'll have more wrapping up the season as we come back to Cincinnati and get back into town over the next couple of days. So thanks everybody for listening. And final here from SoFi Stadium. It's Bengals lose in Super Bowl 56 to the Rams, 23-20. Have a good one, everybody.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.